What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least...
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.com.
There be so many little man hoes out here, man. Why you so mad, baby?
Why?
I be having these hoes mad. Come here, sis.
That's good.
Hoes mad. Hoes mad. Hoes mad. Hoes mad. Hoes mad. I say, baby, why you hating? Why you wanna drink my liquor? But I ain't even tripping. Herb, please pass me a swisher. Smoking dope till I get hiccups. I think I need a pickup. So wanna pick me up, cause these pills got me real high up. But these hoes mad. Hoes mad. I think I fucked up bad friend. A cousin. I got these bitches staring rent. They fighting. They texting me some weird shit. Oh, man. Hoes mad. Up in that pocket watch, bitch think fast, I can't go, yes I gotta keep it on me, bitch I'm going out like Tony, I heard these bitches sneaking, try to give me back my lonely, I'm a dub bitch, not a dummy, I'm all about some money, and what the fuck the liquor drinking in me too, I'm scummy, but whole time, I'm flexing hard like Busta Rhymes, you work the damn, I'm all about my peso, yeah yo, me all man, yo bitch she on my other line. Fresh Doug Klein. Hoes mad. 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 Hoes mad.
Good morning. It's Thursday. God damn, this mic is high. It's August 8th. 2019. It's the second week of August. And before we just get into the show, we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Coast Salish territory. It is important that we acknowledge the land every time you step on it. We broadcast here from the livest, deepest part of the Pacific Spirit Park here on the most western parcel of Vancouver mainland, and his radio show almost didn't happen today. I don't know if you guys follow me on Instagram, but before we get into the show, it's pretty heated. Like, it's funny because my bike didn't get stolen. However, it's not funny because I was mad this morning. I just felt like whenever I think of you mad, I think I play Dex Hoes Mad because it makes me not mad anymore because it's too funny. However, no, I don't know if you've, I think like bike theft is like the most common crime here in Vancouver. And so with someone who's already had one bike stolen, I don't even know who to thank the city of Vancouver for putting those bottoms on those poles. However, I shouldn't be thanking them. Listen, who if you, bike thief, are listening to my show right now, maybe you are. Maybe you know my schedule, trying to set me up, playing a long game. And if you, or you witness someone try to steal my bike, I go Liam Neeson on that shit. Like the last time my bike was stolen, I was stolen from the Royal Vancouver Yacht Club, and I walked all the way from Alma and I don't know what that Cornwall or Water Street or whatever street that is, all the way to Pigeon Park. So, like, I'm committed to finding my bike. And lucky for you that you didn't steal it, because had I had woken up this morning and went outside and realized that my bike was stolen, I would have came and found you. And we would have went on a manhunt. If you've never listened to the show before, what we like to do is here is we talk a little bit about some Canadian news. We talk about some, like, worldwide. We talk about some, like, North American news. And then we talk about, like, what's going on in the world. You know, if we can get there, because normally it's too much crazy shit to even leave the continent. But sometimes we find it, like, you know, very, very important to just say what's going on out in the world. Sometimes we have some guests on. Sometimes those guests are my friends. I'm fortunate enough to have just really, really smart friends. Not only really, really smart friends, but really, really ambitious friends. Friends that are doing a lot of cool shit. Way and like cool things that people need to hear about. And if you know Vancouver, you know, like, the news is dominated by like a few things. One of those being homelessness, one of those being drugs, housing, weed, and in the most recent, I guess, news stories, we've talked a lot about homicide. And if you've been following, that story has an ending, at least for us, and not for everybody. But we will get to that after we get to the weather. And I'm just thinking, if you want to call in, maybe your bike got stolen and you want some help finding it. You want us to give us a description, all the listeners here, a description. You are welcome to call in at 604-822-2487. Maybe you know the person who stole your bike and you want to say their name on the radio. This is a doxable. You can dox someone on the show. I don't care. Let them have it. Because bike thieves are the worst thieves. Let's be honest. It's like, just walk. You don't need to steal my bike. Anyways, today, mostly sunny. It'll be cloudy this weekend with a high of 23 and 22. Showers on Sunday in the morning. So if you'd like to get out today and tomorrow, or really the days other than that, then you get into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all nice. And then, but you know, that probably has absolutely nothing. Probably not going to come true. Vancouver weather forecasts are really only good for like the next 48 minutes. So we'll see what it's like. First off, I think first things first, what we should say, is this show has long been 420 friendly. And what I mean by that is, like, we've been advocates for legalization of marijuana probably for almost a decade now. I think probably my whole life, even before I started smoking weed, you know, I was like, this shit doesn't make any sense. And I say probably, like, with full confidence that I'm sure there's a Facebook status somewhere pre-2009 that says, this shit doesn't make any sense. However, it doesn't. And you know it doesn't make any sense. The fact that every single dispensary in my neighborhood has closed since legalization. It doesn't make befuddled. I don't know what the word is. I think that this isn't the most important news. And this isn't exactly what I had planned to talk about this morning. However, it's off the beaten path. Baby, this is what we do. You know, we start someplace, but you never know the journey. We just know the ending. It's going to be great. That's what you have to trust, the process. And this is it. However, sometimes that process includes going to the dispensary and getting some marijuana. Or cannabis or weed or grass or dope, whatever you want to call it. However, there used to be like 4 dispensaries on my street. And clearly there's the demand for 4 dispensaries because they existed there for years. And then one by one, they slowly started to close due to legalization, like not being able to get licenses, not being able to get permits fast enough. And I don't say this as like a, man, we got to bring the weed back. No, but like in the idea that like those were people, there were people who worked there and people who had jobs there for years, people who were, a part of the community. There's people whose friendly faces that you like to see, you know, who are providing a service. Also, there's providing a need and a place for people to go and congregate and hang out. And it's not like they were closed because, they were causing some type of community disturbance or, you know, like kids were going to buy weed or, you know, there was any illicit behavior. Like the restaurant near my house had a shooting at it. It's like 8 dispensaries within walking distance from my house, never a shooting. So, you know, it's not like it was violent or it's just pure red tape and bureaucracy that caused these dispensaries to close. And so, like, I feel like when people were voting for legalization of marijuana, they just wanted to make it easier for themselves and not feel ashamed for wanting to indulge in cannabis use. They don't want to make it impossible to get and go everything that goes with government regulation. And my friend paid $55 for 3 grams, and so kids, it's a math lesson. $55 is too expensive. And it seems counterproductive because particularly like in a sophisticated market like Vancouver where people are, you know, or BC in general, people would just go to alternatives because $55 is just too much. However, let's move on to some of the news stories that we have been covering. So first off, I say there's so many first things first in this show. Like there's so many things that I feel like are top priority. 1, the bike thieves. 2, the RCMP, so if you had been listening, so there was 2 murder suspects, Cam McLeod and Briar Shmegelsky, two individuals who had been believed to carried out 3 murders in northern BC and were on the run from the RCMP and the military for over 3 weeks now. Yesterday, the RCMP found bodies that they believed to be the 2 suspects, and they found the bodies deep in Manitoba. But the RCMP says that the murder investigation is not over. And so, while the news cycle is over, particularly for the victims and the victims' families, like, I don't know if that feels like justice. That is like an interesting place to be in, because I know that those families deserve, those friends and families who knew those individuals deserve justice. But while the RCMP says that there's significant evidence that links the two dead suspects to the crimes, it's going to be difficult to really understand like what exactly happened, what was the motive. And so I guess that is sad. And if you look at, I never really looked at a map of Canada, but from Laird Hot Springs and Dease Lake to Gilliam, Manitoba, where the boys are found, the men are, that is far. You can go on CBC and they have like a timeline about how they suspect it happened and how they got away, but it seems like a long time. However, as far as it goes, it seems to be over. Oh, I think we had a caller, but there's so much things going on. If you are a Canadian Chase Bank credit card holder, all your debt is canceled. And so if that is something that interests you, you should probably find out more. But I don't have Chase Bank, and they're not canceling my credit card, so news is relevant to me. What is relevant to me and what I do think that is like really important. So as we head into August, I think that everybody here knows that like while this should be like the best time of the year, it's often marred by wildfire smoke that just hovers over Vancouver. And so if you're coming in on a boat or on the ferry, you can see the orange like haze over Vancouver already. But like these forest fires are completely preventable. Like in mid-August, you'll see it just gets bad and smoking. But these, and I don't want to say completely preventable, but when you have 32 fires that are abandoned over BC Day weekend, you have to, you can, it's clear to see like the human element that sparks some of these forest fires. So according to the BC fire wardens, they say they put out 32 abandoned campfires over the August long weekend, urging people to be more vigilant about extinguishing their fires. If the ashes in the campfire aren't cold to touch, it isn't fully out. Campfires start wildfires, and they are extremely preventable. It's pretty dry here, so we know that the fire danger rating is in the extreme. But if I see you leave your campfire, like if I see, I'm not a snitch. However, if I do see you do something, I'm going to say something to myself. And by say something, I will shame you loud and publicly. And I might get on the radio and talk bad about you. But I will 100% for sure say something to your face. Like I saw a girl walking her dog the other day, and she just let her dog shit in the middle of the sidewalk and wasn't going to pick it up. And it wasn't like it wasn't crowded or anything like that. It wasn't like it wasn't busy. It was like, I would say, low to moderate busy. But she was just like going to keep walking. And you just have to say like, hey, I see you. And then she picked it up. But I feel like with forest fire, it's a little like, you know, the sidewalk, it's everybody's sidewalk. It could affect, you know, hundreds of people who walk by. And it's dirty. It's just like, just pick up your dog poop. But also, put your wildfires out. Because if I feel like if I'm walking in the woods and I see someone leave a campfire and they left their campfire not put out, we're going to have some words. We might fight over that. I feel like in the woods, something might take over me. And we might get to wrecking. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what one UBC professor has as a solution to quell or at least put, you know, something to do to help homelessness and drugs here in Vancouver.
Don't die. So here comes the African giant. Many, many people don't try. But you can't test the African giant. Give me your more logo, logo. You know, get the person when you know, no. Making them loco, oh no. Making up the tool and control. Nobody do it better than me. Can nobody do it better? Check a man see. I know say one day he go better. Go carry Grammy. Because anything we better require planning. Don't be. Nothing you can do. Because God he no go give you more than you can undo. Now so them mama go hala ebele bebo. Now so them papa go hala ebele bebo. Obododo no go chim chim. Obododo no go chim chim. Obododo no go chim. So here comes the African giant. Many, many people don't try. But you can't test the African giant. Give me your more logo, logo. You know, get the person when you know, no. Making them loco, oh no. Looking at the tool like a togoto.
Back it off the beaten path here on 101.9 CITR's Vancouver radio station. Lots of stuff going on. Second things first. You might have been lucky enough to catch the Northern Lights on Monday. Many were able to see it from Monday morning. As far south as Seychelles, which is pretty rare. And honestly, these are the types of things I would have liked to learn about before. And so I'm bringing you the disappointment that you missed it as well. I presume that you missed it as well, because I feel like that's something that we would have all seen together. You know what I mean? That's something that we would have talked about, and then we would have gone to go see. I don't know if you've listened to my stories before, but one of, I guess, my recurring stories about BC is that it's hard to catch a cab here. Like, there's so many things that I love and hate about taxis, like particularly over Uber or Lyft. Like, I feel just like with taxis, there's no accountability for your driver not showing up, or, you know, trying to flag one and it just continues to pass you. There's no like accountability for like, you know, how they treat you in the car. But typically they treat you, particularly me, with decent service, especially when you come from the airport. Like, I feel like that's when I want the best service, and that's when I get it. It's coming from the airport. However, I'm just on the street trying to get a cab. Is terrible. And it's not just me apparently who feels this way, but individuals who are who need wheelchairs for mobility often feel this way. Wheelchair, we like even accessible, you know, quote unquote accessible taxis refuse rides here in Vancouver. And so, like, could you imagine how frustrating it would be? Like, it's already frustrating enough for me to not be able to get a cab. But if you are in a wheelchair and the wheelchair cabs pass you, what are you supposed to do? Like, how are you supposed to get around? It's horrible. And so, like, that's – it continues. There's, like, so many things that make Uber and Lyft so attractive here. And I guess all over the world, because it's literally in, feel like, every single country, even Russia, but it's not here in Vancouver. And the accountability on being able to be picked up, you know, when you need to be picked up and, you know, go a certain place, if you're, whether you're in a wheelchair or whether you're just, you know, a black person on the corner, at, you know, at 3 a.m. after you get off of work, you know, it's hard. So, I don't know who's listening. Mayor Gregor, is that still the guy? Is he still the mayor? I'm not sure. However, Mayor, if you're listening, or Justin Trudeau, I know that you probably tuned in. Bring Uber and Lyft to Vancouver. It's silly that it's not here. And there's so many people who can, you know, who would just be better off, including myself. Also, if you are a potential Uber or Lyft driver and you're listening to this show, please ask your passengers if they'd like to talk before you start telling them about your life. Because, like, I think that there's lots of things that can bring people together. A 4 a.m. ride to the cab or a 4 a.m. ride home after work is not one of those things. Appreciate it. So, what the hell was that? So, a UBC professor, Dr. Mark Tyndall, says that it's time to start installing vending machines to provide addicts with clean drugs. And I really like, so I'm working on this project at work, like looking at the future. And so a lot of the times the future is scary. I don't know what's scarier, nature or the future. But there's, I guess, like, I am learning so many things that are exciting about the future, I hope. Learning about not just how science and technology will help, well, not only will help us live longer or will help provide us with materials and clothes that, like, work with our bodies. And, like, one thing, as I didn't know as I was watching this TED Talk, is that, like, the skin on your face is thinner and more porous for filtering in and out. And the skin on your back is thicker and has very, very tiny pores because it's supposed to work as a barrier. And, you know, while your skin is your skin, it is all different. And so one of those things, and so talking about building clothes and materials that work with the differences in your body. And so those are the types of things that excite me as a future. When I look at, like, 23andMe and, you know, Ancestry.com and those genealogy websites and what they're doing, those do not excite me, or potential scary robots. However, I am excited about what are the types of things that we can do to help us progress socially. So there's a lot of projects being rolled out in different areas. So I think there's a city in Canada that's working on universal basic income, which is something that I feel like is going to have to seriously be considered as we move out of this. I mean, we've already moved out of this hyper-industrialized society, but as we move further and further to more service jobs and more automation, those are some of the things that we're going to have to consider, not just how people are going to eat, but then also what are they going to do? And, you know, and so there's a lot of social things in there. But this is a one that continues to be pushed, is that people aren't dying of, like, people are not, like, living long enough to recover because the drugs that they use are dirty. So Vancouver Mayor Kennedy Stewart, that's his name. It's not Gregor anymore. It's Kennedy Stewart. Let's I'm going to have to drill that in my brain. Talks about how the downtown east side is worse than ever and tries to understand, you know, what are some of the things that can be done. And it feels like there's no idea that's off the table. And so what I think, and I think that's good. So I'll be looking forward to reading more about this story. You can find it on the CBC.ca, just talking about what exactly can be done to make sure that people are using safe drugs and people are and make sure that there's avenues for people to get treatment and get better. Moving on. So I guess I thought that I was having a rough morning when I looked at my bike and realized that someone had tried to pull the damn pole that it was locked up to out of the ground. And apparently there's been a uptick in property crime. So some of the victims are so frustrated by the thefts that they've begun openly debating doing something about it themselves. And I say you should always do something about it yourself. I am a 100% believer in vigilante justice when it's right. And I say vigilante justice, not vigilantes. So, like, when I think of vigilante justice, I think of Batman. When I think of vigilantes, I think of George Zimmerman. You know, I feel like there's a clear difference about those two people. And I feel like Batman would have killed George Zimmerman and should have. If you want to get into that, listen, you're welcome to call in or write on the Facebook page. We can chat. However, there was even a tiny home stolen in Prince George's. So there's people having bad days. There's over 10% of the Prince George population have joined the Facebook group because they have so many stolen goods from bikes, trampolines, lunch bags, tools, trucks, tires, rims, trailers. It's almost crazy that someone stole a tiny home because the idea is that what are you going to do with the tiny home? You're either going to live in it or you're going to sell it. And so if you sell it, eventually it's going to get back to the person, because how can you continue to sell like a tiny home on the black market? Eventually it's going to get back to whoever owns it, and then they're going to find you. And if you live in it, could you imagine something more stupid than living in a home that you stole? Could you imagine breaking into somebody's house and just moving in there and just never moving out? I mean, I guess you could, like, if you on the macro, you know, like, we acknowledge the land that we are on right now, which was pretty much basically someone moved in and never moved out. But the idea that you could just move into somebody's tiny home and never move out. Like, I would, you know what, criminals, if you're listening and you stole that tiny home, please move into the house. I'd like to see what happens next. When we come back, listen, we have a lot to talk about in what's going on here in North America. Some of the ugliest shit I've ever seen, or ugliest story I've ever heard in, I don't want to say in my life, like, there's so many terrible, terrible things. However, there's also some reasons to be optimistic.
Yeah. Sweet Lord, please have mercy. Baby Jesus, please save us. I know I used up my three favors. Back to center like a week later. New car, speed racer, copper crib, need acres. Most of all, we all need prayer. Karma coming, beware. I don't know where I'm going, but I hope I'm on the right path. Life will hit you with a light jab. Mike Tyson, strike back. You niggas going out, slight sad. Boy, I'm all about my bag. New drip, I grab. I just wanna get my life back. It's no complaining on this side. My nigga shit is not tolerated. Cut some niggas off like an operation. Now my team way more consolidated. Sweet presidential, that's inauguration. Cause we cooking crack like Ronald Reagan. Chip on my shoulder, boy, I'm not for waiting. Divine timing took a lot of patience. Now it's time for the takeover. All gas and the brakes slower. Took a trip out to Tokyo. Now I'm here in Paris for the layover. Fuck old niggas, boy, your day's over. You mad at me cause your pay slower. Better nigga, you a shade throw. I was just sleeping on a sofa. Now I ride with a pay chauffeur. Cause I'm way doper, better stay sober. I paint pictures, you a Crayola. Got a bad bitch and she laid over. She really asked cause she stay over. I told her that we need to face closure. The smell of money has a great odor. These are things that I prayed over. Sweet Lord, please have mercy. Baby Jesus, please save us. I know I used up my three favors. Back to center like a week later. New car, speed racer. Copper crib, need acres. Most of all, we all need prayer. Karma coming, beware. I don't know where I'm going, but I hope I'm on the right path. Life will hit you with a light jab. Mike Tyson, strike back. You niggas going out, slight sad. Boy, I'm all about my bag. New drip, I grab. I just wanna get my life back. Why cry over spilled milk if you still feel I'm the real deal? My bitch bad with no ill will. She'll murk a nigga like Kill Bill. Loose lips, sink ships, Cameron, pink drip. That is my fashion. I'm not really with the high flashing. It's no helping with my bragging. I penetrated, been the greatest. New house, renovated. I got the juice, you eliminated. Pussy niggas always instigating. Can't fuck me over, boy, I'm too clever. That applies all to whoever. I'm just here to pursue pleasure. Boy, I'm going out like you ever. Sweet Lord, please have mercy. Baby Jesus, please save us. I know I used up my three favors. Back to center like a week later. New car, speed racer. Copper crib, need acres. Most of all, we all need prayer. Karma coming, beware. I don't know where I'm going, but I hope I'm on the right path. Life will hit you with a light jab. Mike Tyson, strike back. You niggas going out, slight sad. Boy, I'm all about my bag. New drip, I grab. I just wanna get my life back.
Back it off the beat path here on 101.9 CITRs. It's the best show on Thursday. So if you like me and you like the music that I play, you should listen to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Me, myself, Homeboy Jules, Relly Rels, Jamal Steeles, Malik, Horsepower, bring you, it's like the, I think Rolling Stones, The Source Magazine, and the New York Times said it's the best hip-hop show in Canada. But you should listen for yourself. We have a mix that comes out every week. Check it out. So in Vancouver, a nursing home, there's Dr. Ellen Wiebe, was subject to review by the College of Physicians and Surgeons of BC after she participated in providing an assisted death at a nursing home. And she was cleared, which I think is rightfully so. But it always leads to a question that I have about myself and, like, death and mortality. I feel like while it's a very dark conversation for the morning, I don't feel like it has to be, you know? I think it's very interesting to the idea of, like, what happens, like, what would you want to happen to you when you get old and you can no longer do for yourself? It's something for me personally in my life, when you think about, like, your grandparents or your parents or your great-great-grandparents getting older and the quality of life decreases. Like, how long do you want to be around? I ask myself that, like, you know, at what point am I just like, you know what, just give me the morphine till I go, you know, as I lay in this bed. And I guess that's a question that you have to ask yourself. However, I feel like a doctor shouldn't be getting in trouble for that. And I'm glad that they're not. At least in BC. I'm sure other places they are, but here, no. A young girl was bitten by a black bear on Monday at the Greater Vancouver Zoo. And she deserved it. I don't know how old she is because she's a minor, so they don't put the ages in there. However, she put this bear in danger. And so I'm upset. Because if you know about this show, you know I care about animals, but not in the sense that everybody else cares about animals. Like, I care in the idea that just let the bears be bears. Like, bears are going to bear, and, you know, I don't want bears to be killed for being bears. So if you heard about last week, the story, I'm not the only one that feels like this. There's people in Coquitlam who tried to stop the quote-unquote conservation officers from destroying a bear, as they call it. And this young girl, whose parents were clearly not watching her, crossed a safety barrier around 7 p.m. and ended up in an area that was closed to the public. The girl then stuck her arm through a chain link fence to try to pet a bear, and she was bitten. So while the zoo team is upset, I had to read the whole story, because if I'd have got to the end and they talked and they said that that bear would have been euthanized, we might have had to find that little girl and at least talk to her about how does she feel that she killed a bear. The bear would not be euthanized. But I guess two set of fences is not enough. If you are a child listening to the radio show, or you are a parent of a young child, I'm going to say, maybe go out on a limb and say, maybe, just maybe, you should stay the hell away from the bear's enclosures. At least don't try to get closer. Seems stupid. And it seems like that is something that something shouldn't have to be said. We talked a little bit about this earlier this month about, about how three southern resident, killer whales are dying. And so three southern resident killer whales are presumed dead after being missing over the summertime. Wow. So if you, I say wow because I'm reading the story at the same time. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I just like look at a headline and I'm like, you know, that looks like a story that needs to be talked about. And if, and then I look at the time because we only have so much time here together. And sometimes you just, you read a story and you're just like, man, that's wild. So because it shows, I'm just saying what I'm seeing. J17 is one of the names of the killer whales. And so it shows an aerial view of what the whale looked like in September 15 and then September 18 and then May of 19. And you can see just how skinny and emaciated the whale looks. And like, how they're not just, the whales are just not getting enough to eat. And could you imagine swimming around all day or like walking around all day looking for food and there's just no food left? And it's not because there's no food. It's not because like, you know, it's just like a season, I guess a seasonal, you know, like a harvest or a drought or something like that. There's just not enough food in the ocean. Which is fucked up to think about, because the ocean is huge. And now the population is down to 73. And when you think about 73, just like how small that number is to say like the amount of southern resident killer whales are left. Like 73 is so small. Like how long would 73 M&Ms last in your house? you know, I think about it, I try to think about it in terms of, like, you know, realistically, like, how long was 73 popcorn kernels last, you know, in your, when you were watching the movie? Like, would it last the credits? Like, would you make it to the end? Would you even get to, would you even, like, how many characters would you find out before, you know, you ate 73 pieces of popcorn? So one of the whales was a 42-year-old matriarch. One of the whales is a 25-year-old and a 28-year-old. It's crazy. Hope those whales are resting in peace and providing food for some other wildlife in the sea, because that's how the circle of life works. Wow, this story made me sad. I like killer whales. I feel like, you know, we shouldn't be like the last generation to be able to see killer whales. But what it's looking like is, if we're looking like the last generation, I might see fish, period. So I guess we should be happy. I don't know. I don't know if this is a story that was here in Canada. So Satanya Brown, who was a sex trafficking victim, who was convicted of murder of one of John. And so, like, she was a sex trafficking victim. And while being a minor, she killed a John, a trick or whatever you like to call it. But she was just released from prison. And I think that this is like a, when people talk about, like, social media activism and how it does nothing, I do think it's interesting, because there's stories like this where you hear that she only had her story heard and continued to be talked about through social media. So she served 15 years of her life sentence. She's now 31, but now she's out of prison. And it seems, and I hope that, like, you know, the help that was there to get her out is still there after she is going to need some help getting her, like, life started. Because I feel like, it, you know, not even your life back together, but at 15, your life is, like, not even started yet. Like, your life and hers clearly needed some help even before that. And so there's, like, two stories that are dominating the U.S. news cycle this week, which are the two shootings, the one in El Paso and the one in Dayton, El Paso, Texas, and the one in Dayton, Ohio. Over 33 people killed in between those two shootings, which happened within 48 hours of each other. One directly relating to some of the rhetoric that we've seen, which relates to the ICE raids of yesterday. So yesterday, ICE raided a food packing facility and arrested over 680 people at work, by the way. So it's not like these, which I think that one, that's one of the most discussions. So I think we should talk about the guns first. First off, I think the United States has 251 mass shootings. And it was interesting because there was a tweet that came out and said how many mass shootings there had been in 2019 in, like, a lot of different countries. And then less than 12 hours later, it said this, I saw another tweet that said this list is already out of date, which just makes you, as someone who's, who thinks about these things, like, you know, who reads about them in the news, it just seems so crazy that really nothing is done about it at all. But nothing will be done, because it's more par for the course. Like, you see a lot of tweets, or you see a lot of people talking about how it is, like, un-American. And so, like, these people are the vigilantes and, like, the cowboys of the Wild West that you know, that have been romanticized. Like, the idea of people going out west and killing the savages and the people who do not belong. How, you know, even though we understand how the United States and was formed. Mexicans already living here. Like, the border doesn't exist. It's an imaginary line. And people are just coming here to work. And so when the rhetoric gets spewed that, you know, Mexicans are rapists and drug dealers and murderers and coming here to invade the United States, it's easy to make those connections on how, you know, someone who's has access to guns, access to assault rifles, and motivated to get these people out of his country, you know, would go on a killing spree. And it happens, but it has to stop. But it doesn't stop. It can't stop until we stop talking about people in this manner, stop treating them in this manner. So there was, 680 people who were arrested at this facility and presumably deported. So there's a story which, I guess, recounts this man's last days in Iraq. So this is not, it's a story of deportation, but you have to understand that there are people being deported all over. So, like, my family is Caribbean, and so there is people from the West Indies who are living in the United States or in Canada, you know, who maybe have overstayed their visa, you know, or overstayed their green card, and they are in line just like the others for immigration. There's people from Iraq and Iran, and there's, you know, in the Middle East who are living, you know, in the United States who maybe have overstayed their visas or, you know, living here, you know, quote unquote illegally, or people from Mexico or other South American, you know, other Central and South American countries, who've never lived in the countries that they are getting deported to. So this man was living in, where is he? He's 41 years old and spent 40 years of his life living in the United States, had never been to Iraq. And his name was Jimmy Al Daoud, and he was deported to Iraq. And so he was found dead just a few days ago. And so he's a Detroit man who was born in Greece, but an Iraqi national. And his family had moved to the States when he was young. But he'd never been to Iraq, didn't speak Arabic. And when ICE rounded up people to deport, they sent him back to Iraq. And so he posted a series of videos and within a couple of months of him being in Iraq, he was he had turned schizophrenic. He didn't know the language. He didn't really have a support system there, you know, and he was homeless. And then he died. And it's like, it didn't have to be like that. Just like the people, you know, there's not, I don't have the individual names of the people deported in at the facility in Alabama. But, you know, there's people being deported to countries that they've never been, or people just at work trying to make the world better. And it's crazy because I seen a Vice a few years ago where it was a Alabama farmer who had voted for, you know, to get the people out of his country. And then what happened was his strawberry fields and watermelon fields went to shit because the people whose jobs that they were taking didn't actually want to do the work and couldn't do the work to the high level, high quality that they were doing it. And then they were trying to bring him back. And it's interesting. So, like, if you've seen how the rhetoric has evolved, there's something connection making my brain. You see how the rhetoric has evolved from they're taking our jobs to they're murderous thieves, and this is an invasion. You know, murderous thieves and rapists, and this is an invasion. Like, the motivation is the same. These people need to go. But they will say anything to make it happen. Like, you know, jobs or just flat out racism. There's no incentive or reason to even hide. And so, and like, there's no reason to hide when the highest office in the land is supporting your bigotry. And it is imperative that, like, I feel like we continue to think about and continue to talk about these issues, because you can see that it does move the needle on some things. Yeah, but there's so many different, there's so many crazy stories that are here that, like, which one do you want to fill up? But first off, if you've never read Toni Morrison's book, she's my, like, one of my women in my life's favorite authors. It is very interesting to see, like, all of the love and all of the love that, like, she's getting as a writer, but, like, just, like, how many quotables she's had about speaking truth and speaking your truth. And so when I think about Toni Morrison and, like, the like, legacy that she has, it's just, you can just be your authentic self, and that will resonate with people. And if you have a little bit of power, you should make sure you bring other people into power. You know, that cannot be hoarded for yourself. And I feel like that's something that is echoed throughout. Just like Kenny Stills. So if you know Kenny Stills, he's a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins. And so he brought to the attention that the owner is a Trump supporter while also trying to support equality in sports. And he basically said you can't do both. And I think it's interesting that this was all brought up after. I think the story, it's very interesting. So if you don't know, the owner of Equinox and SoulCycle, Stephen Ross, is hosting a Trump fundraiser that's like $150,000 a plate, up to $250,000 a plate is the minimum spend for a fundraiser that you can hang out with Trump, I guess, and have a conversation, maybe. You'll get a picture. I don't know what you get for $100,000 dinner. But the story was broken by Kenny Stills. It says you can't have a nonprofit with this mission statement about equality in sports and open your doors to Donald Trump. And so that was picked up by subsequent media outlets. And so as they looked into it, it was brought out. And so me and my friends, we have the saying, eat the rich, because eventually that's what we're going to have to do, because there's going to be no more food left. There's no more fish in the ocean. And they're going to have a monopoly on all the food. So we're just going to have to start eating them. And so I propose that, like, if you have a membership to Equinox or SoulCycle, you're probably on that list. And but it's interesting because the statement that Stephen Ross and Equinox have put out is basically that they are hosting the fundraiser as a way to show, I guess, deference to Donald Trump for tax purposes. And so we see that people are fueling racism and bigotry and murder, pretty, you know, I would say murder through, you know, some of the actual things that are